Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your host, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good morning and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. I'm Mike Rickard, sitting across from Ben Botham and, of course, Bill Geiger. Can you hear me?
No, I'm on the green one, I think.
Okay. I can barely hear me.
Yeah.
Aren't you? I know they could probably hear me. Aren't you on? Let's see which one of these are you.
Test. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Test.
Well, here, you want to use my...
Yeah, better use your microphone. Test yours there, Joseph.
Test.
Okay, there we go. All right, there we go. And then we got to work on getting Ben figured out. I'm Mike Rickard. You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Joe Geiger joining me, Ben Botham, and it is a gorgeous March Madness Final Four weekend. Right here down at Ferg's, not Final Four, March Madness weekend. And, of course, we've got 104 televisions down here at Ferg's, downtown St. Petersburg, and a nice breezy day. It's a Chamber of Commerce day, if you will. And we've got plenty of guests coming on. We're going to talk soccer, as always, and then with Jim Hart and, of course, David Wilson. We'll talk Rowdies. They had their home opener. They're on the road in North Carolina today. And then, of course, we'll talk a little high school. We got a lot of high school, actually. In the second hour, we're going to have the lacrosse team, the Largo Lady Packers, will be down here, and they'll be talking lacrosse, giving us all an education in the world of lacrosse. Give me a shout now.
Hey, Ben there Barker. It is. Now we're all rocking and rolling.
We're in business. There we go. And then look at this. Here comes my Hawkeye contingency, Kenny and Sherry. It's at 3 o'clock today. Caitlin Clark will take on the poor victims at Holy Cross. I'm sure you haven't been watching any of the March Madness.
Oh no, I saw about 50 TVs all up on the side of the bar. About some basketball tournament going on, Mike.
Yeah, so. There you go. Anyway, we're brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor, and of course, Coca-Cola Beverages and Sea Dogs Brewery, where they're serving breakfast daily. And we will talk to Dolph Pulliam. Dolph Pulliam is a icon at Drake University. They played this week, but I wanted to get him on. He played in the 1969 Final Four against Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and his story was something incredible. He was at the first round of the NCAAs in Omaha, and I want to get a little perspective from my good friend, and that's Dolph Pulliam. And then we'll have some breaking news. Bob Putnam will join us, and we have merged the primetime preps and the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and we will be covering all the local sports more than anyone else. In fact, here's a number for you. In the last 25 days, boys, he's had 815,000 views on primetime preps. We'll be merging our social media together, launching a radio show on Wednesdays, so you'll have to be spreading the word to the world of high school. That's where you'll go for the scores, weekly players of the week. Boys, girls, every sport. In fact, I wish he was here so he could talk a little lacrosse with us at 12:05. So, a little rough week, huh?
Yeah, not the best week we could have had, but still we did okay, Mike. You know, you got to learn from every game that you play. Unfortunately, we did take a loss against St. Pete Catholic, but, you know, it's a good wake-up call for the boys at Seminole, and I think we're going to bounce back pretty good on Monday when we go down to the stadium at Dunedin. Monday to play.
That's a
them.
Big game.
It's a huge game, you know. It's a little bit of a rivalry game at this point. Two really good programs, and you know, if trends keep going the way that they're going, we could probably be in their district next year. And you know, it's going to be a heated game for sure. And we're really looking forward to it. And I think the boys are more locked in than they've ever been coming up for this game.
Well, of course, today down here is an interesting event at Ferg's. Always something going on down at Ferg's. In fact, Thursday is opening day. That's the 28th. 4:15 first pitch, and there's the Toronto Blue Jays across the street, and we will be having the opening day party, which is an annual event. Food trucks, music. We'll be doing a live show down here. Joe Bordreau and myself from noon till 3 prior to first pitch, and then but today we've got beer, buds, and bands out back at 2 o'clock.
Beer, buds, and bands.
Buds would be cannabis, I'm assuming.
I would have to, unless it's Best Buds.
Yeah. We're Best Buds, having some beers.
Yeah, there
listen
we go.
To some
that's
music.
Good. Yeah,
yeah,
I
we
like
can say that on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
Sure.
Yeah, there we go.
How late's that going?
Way to turn
Mike?
It on. 2-6, right up your alley,
two
pal.
Two to six.
Oh,
oh I got the triple header.
You got a JV triple header.
Push it back to 10.
Yeah, at 10. Can you imagine what it'll be like back there? Anyway,
a little smoky with our buds.
As I said, it is a first weekend of March Madness or March Sadness. If you had Auburn, of course, they went down to the mighty Yale Bulldogs. Did you have that one called there, Joseph?
Nah, my bracket's toast, but it's all about
everybody's bracket's toast.
It's all about madness. Doesn't matter. So I'm just happy to see some different teams. I was not expecting that one. Auburn's been really hot. They won the SEC tournament. And then for the Ivy Leaguers to come in there and get the job done. Back-to-back years where the Ivy League champ has pulled off an upset in round one. Last year, 15 Princeton beat number 2 Zona. And then this year, Auburn goes down to the 13th-seeded Yale Bulldogs.
I love it. You know, they say that geeks rule the world. Now they're starting to invade sport and be able to compete against the big boys where nobody graduates. Right?
No comment.
No comment. Anyway, we're brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor and, of course, Coca-Cola Beverages. We've got a lot of things going on in the world of high school sports this spring, and we'll launch the show in June, and that will be Wednesdays from 6 to 8 right here on RadioSt.Pete.com, our platform on the Florida Sports Streams channel. We're broadcasting live, though, on our flagship, and that's WTAN 106.1 FM, AM 1340, Clearwater, St. Pete, Tampa, WZHR FM 104.3 FM, AM 1350, Zephyr Hills, and WZHR 102.3 FM, and Lake City, Gainesville, WDSR, AM 1340, and AM 1250. Smell that?
It's already getting started.
I think they fired things up out back already. Yeah, we're going to talk a little soccer, and then we'll talk to Dolph Pulliam and talk a little college basketball. And then my son Ben will make an appearance. We'll have a Ben and Ben analysis of
B squared.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. Maybe that's a new segment. He calls in from Colorado. B square or don't be there, right? All right. Brad Richardson is bringing the Lady Packers down here, and we'll have a nice conversation there. Did you find anything interesting this week to open the show with?
Well, the man, the myth, the legend, that is Shohei Ohtani is in
what
some
is going
hot
on there, man?
Water.
Okay, do you think that he is that? And he's a young guy. He's got a lot coming at him. He had a lot of emotional and physical issues this past year. Do you think he just had complete trust in that cat and had nothing? He was not involved at all. Or maybe they became close buddies. He goes, hey, I'm going to throw a little money on this for us. And Shohei probably said, yeah, that's cool. You know, he probably didn't even know a lot of the ramifications.
I think it's a cover-up.
Yeah, I think Shohei Ohtani is 1,000% putting all his money on gambling. Because there's no way a bookie, or not a bookie, but a translator who only makes, I think they said, between $400,000 and $500,000.
Shohei's account.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. They're saying that he transferred money. How does a guy who only makes $400,000 get a $10 million, or not $10 million, but a $5 million gambling debt? The numbers aren't quite adding up. And if you have a debt of $4.5 million, that means you're betting a whole lot more than that. Because
You're in Phil Mickelson and Charles Barkley category.
Exactly. And there's been some reports. I saw this on Twitter on at Timmy Smokes. Ohtani could possibly throw in games on July 22nd, 2022. A bet of $1 million was placed on the Atlanta Braves to score over 6.5 runs against the Los Angeles Angels, parlayed with the Braves minus 3.5. The bet was placed with a bookie where Shohei Ohtani's hometown was, the pitcher for the Angels. And it goes on for him doing this more and more and more. And somebody was recounting all this stuff going on, placing these multi-million dollar bets. I have a feeling Shohei Ohtani.
Wander Franco last year in a different scenario. And now Shohei Ohtani.
A little bit different scenario.
No, I know, different scenario. But I'm talking about two superstars that could be out of the world of MLB baseball.
Pete Rose just said he was deaf and got a little sign language interpreter and just blamed it all on him.
Well, I tell you what,
money his way.
If they're blind about this topic, Shohei Ohtani, and they put it all on the interpreter, Pete Rose better be in the Hall of Fame the next ballot, but it'll never happen.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a major case, because if I was somebody who bet on any of those games that could possibly have been thrown, I would not only be suing the MLB, I'd be suing the sports books, because now they're in bed together. You have the sports books teaming up with MLB, with the NFL, and now you have possible accusations of a star player, a superstar, probably the best player in Major League Baseball.
Well, I think he was throwing close games. To being the face of baseball.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you have him throwing games? Crazy.
All right. We're going to get to our soccer in a minute. Looking for an affordable golf cart? These are our new guys on the block. It doesn't break the bank. Go to Facebook.com, search Plant City, On the Job Carts LLC, message Tim, and mention the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection or On the Tee Florida, and get an additional 10% off your purchase. That's 10%, as I mentioned last week. Let's say it's a $3,300 golf cart, which that's their price point. That's the cool thing about it.
That's a great price.
It's a superb price. And that's what I moved down here from Iowa, I was thinking. And then all of a sudden, I'm seeing they're driving Rolls Royces, basically, for golf carts. You didn't think a cart like that would be in the wheelhouse of the common man. So that has changed, and I'm excited about that. And these are the guys, too, to do that. On the Job Carts LLC, they're your local dealer to the latest in golf carts and accessories. And as I said, you can take that accessory, that extra $300, $330, whatever the 10% is, throw it to accessories. And, of course, the dealerships, with their overhead, they can't touch that. And we're going to have them out at our golf tournament, and that is the Sea Dogs tournament, and that is going to be up there at Seminole. And maybe you could come out, buddy. We're going to have a hole-in-one contest for a golf cart.
Oh, I like the sound of that, Mike.
Well, these guys don't need golf carts. They're in a soccer world. And they are, each and every week, it's our Tampa Bay Rowdies. And of course, Coca-Cola Body Armor segment. And it's Jim Hart on the line. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
He's not there. He didn't pick up.
Jim Hart not holding up. John Walsh, I'm gonna bring you into the conversation then. I haven't met you yet, but I understand that you're right in the middle of a draft down there, Champions League draft.
Pretty much. We're following the model that Jim set up over in Tampa and Dave Wilson, and hopefully trying to simulate what they've done and the success they've had over in there and bring it down to South Florida. So
well,
hour to the draw and the assignment. So we got basically every district winner in South Florida gets an invitation to play in this Champions League. You got to have won something. It can't be one of these polls and ranking things. You actually have to accomplish something on the field. So we've got 24 teams who are lined up to go into the pot this morning and be drawn into group play for next year. Of those 24 teams, 11 of them have either won or played in a state final in the last 2 years. So the competition should be fairly high down here, and whoever comes out winning it will have run the gauntlet.
Well, talk about how you know Jim Hart and, of course, you know, his vision and his dedication to this Champions League. We do the draft right here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We just had our second annual, and I tell you what, I'm very impressed with the format. I think it's superb for the game of soccer, as little as I know about the sport. I don't know if Jim told you, but up until we started these segments almost 2 years ago now, I was a novice in the world of soccer. I'm an old man from the Midwest. And now that I've read the book Soccer for Dummies and I've got all these talented guys around me, I'm really getting into the sport, and I'm promoting it with my grandchildren. But the great sport, he's our godfather up here, our ambassador. How did you meet Jim Hart?
I've been around. Well, I've been coaching back at my alma mater at St. Thomas Aquinas, South Florida, since 1991. So we've kind of been in parallel circles in different geographic areas of the state. So I've met him and known of him for decades. But he approached me in my capacity as I'm the South Florida representative on the state high school advisory board. And he approached me a couple of years ago about seeing if we could do something similar to what they're doing over in Tampa, just to kind of raise the excitement level and the enthusiasm and the buzz around high school soccer down here. So we're working with him, working with his group over there, his people, and as I say, hopefully we can pull it off.
Well, I want you to give us kind of an overview of basically the climate down there in high school soccer, how huge it is. You know, we know you for incredible football out of Dade County, of course, baseball, and of late even basketball. How does Dade County size up against the rest of the state? I'm sure dominant, but I haven't been following that. We will pretty soon.
Like I say, our championship basically encompasses all of South Florida. So it's Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County, and technically Monroe County too, which is the Keys. But as I say, we've got... there are 11 different schools in our draw in soccer who have won in the last, as I say, 3 years. So there's a lot of parity. Jim asked me just a little bit ago if I could just give a thumbnail of who the favorites are. I kind of laughed. I don't know who the favorites are. I could make an argument any year for any number of these teams. Any given year, anybody could beat anybody down here. It's highly competitive. A lot of the local clubs, I play in very competitive leagues, high-level players, and those of us who kind of draw from those areas benefit from it. A lot of the guys knows each other. A lot of the players play with and against each other in these leagues and these competitive groups, and the buzz is high. I mean, we've already had people online, I mean, chirping about, we're going to beat you, we're going to take you, oh, we're going to we hope we draw you. I mean, it's taken off. It's kind of, at this point, hopefully it's got legs of its own and can run. So we're looking forward to getting it going, and hopefully we can replicate some of the success you guys had over there.
Give us a little bio. And by the way, the Godfather is now on. Jim Hart joining us. Give us a little bio of you, my friend. Of course, you're not the John Walsh that is out there chasing America's most wanted, but you're chasing Dade County's most wanted soccer players.
Yeah, well, or Broward, but yeah. I grew up in Broward County, went to school in St. Thomas, graduated St. Thomas in the early 80s, played a year out in St. Louis, transferred to Wake Forest, played the rest of my career there, played a couple years in what passed for professional soccer at that time up in the D.C. area, came back down to South Florida to go to law school when the league folded I was playing in, and my AD sucked me back in, saying in my spare time, maybe you could help us out. Spare time.
Hey, John. That
was 33 years ago. I still can't find the door.
Hey, John, have your paths ever crossed against Tommy Ryan? He's the AD at Eckerd College. He's a St. Thomas Aquinas grad.
Yeah, he came through, I believe, a couple years after me. But yeah, we got a bunch of them out there. I mean, they've done well for themselves, stayed involved, been around, and continue giving back to athletics in general, and in my case, soccer. So, yeah, there's a lot of St. Thomas people out there.
Well, Jim, you want to say hello? You know, I probably get a C-minus maybe, or a D-plus for the conversation so far. I've tried to wing it on my own because I had fat fingers and gave Matt the wrong number. But why don't you take it from here, my friend?
No, it's good. John, we're so excited that you guys are having this draw today. It's, the part I heard you talking about sounded great. So, you know, John, what we're excited about especially is December 21st when your winner travels up I-75 to play against our winner. Is there any talk
right
about that among the teams down there?
There is. There was, as I say, we hope to be finished, again, kind of with you guys last year, weather permitting, we hope to be finished the first weekend in December. So we'll have 2 weeks to lie in wait, rest up and heal, and get ready for your guys 2 weeks later. But, yeah, a lot of the guys were interested in, again, not only who's the best in South Florida, but who's the best in two of the soccer headbands in the state. So hopefully we're ready for you.
That's so cool. What fun for the kids. What fun for the coaches. And what fun for the support. You were talking about the teams chirping at each other. You know, we've got to get these social media people and so forth hooked into what we're doing. And so I'll send you some information on that too, John. But I just think this is great. I know you're trying to get ready to do the draw down there. We don't want to tie up your time. But thanks so much for coming on with us. Is there anything else
My
you want
pleasure.
To say up here to our friends in Tampa that are listening?
Hopefully we see you in December. Hopefully it's me, although that's going to be, as I said, a very tough gauntlet to run.
That's beautiful. John, thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for the time.
All right, John. Have a great weekend.
Yep, you too. Bye.
Well, that was no problem talking to him. I didn't realize he was an attorney by trade. I ask him a couple questions, and you get a very articulate response, and hard to keep up on my end, buddy.
Oh, imagine me, a gym teacher, trying to keep up with this guy.
gym teacher? But, do they even call them gym teachers anymore?
I do. I think old school is better, and so I stick with the old school monitors. I once got a note from a parent, right, for their kid having to sit out, and it was addressed to gym teacher. So I was like, okay, that's who I am, and that's who I probably will be.
Hey, Ben, at Seminole High, do you got gym teachers?
Yeah, we still call him gym teacher.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't you apply for that job?
Oh, that's a tough position to get, Mike, because, I mean, you're doing this. You get paid the exact same as every other teacher there.
Are you kidding?
And you get to wear shorts all day and throw around some dodgeballs at some snot-nosed kids.
Hey, is that how you would describe your career, Jim Hart, is that you got to walk around in coaches' shorts and throw and play dodgeball against kids?
Very, very close. I'm telling you, man. Play music, exercise. I mean, I felt like I never worked a day in my life. It was the best job you could have.
No wonder you got so much energy in your retirement. You saved up a lot with that gig. You didn't have the stress of today. And you could take the stress out on those kids in dodgeball like Adam Sandler did, or in the movie Dodgeball.
Well, the best part is, the rest of the school thinks you're an idiot because you're the gym teacher. They just think you don't know anything.
They leave you alone. They think you're the town idiot, right? Yep.
That's right.
Can't teach anything else, so... no, Matt. Yeah. Adam Sandler was in... that was in Billy Madison when he threw that. Matt corrected me that... Which Adam Sandler was.
Ben Stiller's in Dodgeball, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah.
I am a Billy Madison expert. Any ignorant movie, I probably know every line there is.
Hey, the movie Dodgeball is one of my favorites.
Dodgeball is a cinematic classic.
Got some great one-liners.
Exactly.
A lot we can't say on the air, but still exactly. Some great ones.
So let's talk a little Rowdies, of course. Last weekend they had the opener, and they played to a 2-2 tie. They're in North Carolina this weekend. But I had a nice conversation with their new marketing people. He happens to be from Iowa. And Jeff and I are going to put together a plan for our alliance the rest of the 2024 season. And it sounds like everybody over there, as you said, Jim, is excited about this season and the future.
Oh, it's so great. They have a great organization, and we got a sense of that. We get a sense of that every time we talk to Ryan and interact with that organization. But I thought last weekend was quite a disappointment to the Rowdies and to people that follow the Rowdies. They had the game completely under control, and with 9 minutes left, and the Rowdies were winning 2-0. The opponent scores. I think the Rowdies took the foot off the gas pedal a little bit. And then we get into extra time, and as all the American sports people don't understand, you mean it gets to the end of the game and it's still not over yet? What do you mean? We don't know how much time is left? What is that about? People have a hard time wrapping their head around that, but the referee let the game go for a while, and the other team scored the tying goal in added time right before the end. So it was 2-2. Quite a disappointment, I would say. They had a sellout crowd there at Al Lang, and they were ready to celebrate a win. And for the head coach, Robbie Nielsen, I'm sure he was expecting to pick up 3 points. But this is real interesting today. They're in North Carolina. The North Carolina team is one of their biggest rivals. They've come up through the leagues together, the Rowdies and this team. They've played, I think they've played 31 times so far, and they've got, North Carolina has a bit of the edge. But it'll be interesting to see how Robbie Nielsen's team travels. That's one of the things that I've been looking at. You know, when he coached in Scotland, the farthest game was about a three-hour bus ride away, and most of the games were a lot closer. Playing a national schedule, it's a whole different thing, traveling. So that'll be interesting to watch. But I think the team is in good shape. I think the team was going to come out with something to prove tonight, and we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right, my friend. Well, I appreciate you, as always, taking time to join us, and we look forward to continued conversations. I'm sorry about David. I really didn't know how we'd fit that in. And I enjoyed the conversation with John Walsh, and look forward to watching your entire state be Champions League focused in the future. I know you're going to get there, man.
And the Sports Connection is on the ground floor and has been from the start, Mike. It's exciting. Thank you for your coverage. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. And at 12:30, we're going to have Bob Putnam on to make our big announcement. And now we'll really be covering the statistical side of the Champions League as well as the high school soccer all year long.
So awesome. Tell Big Game Bobby I said hi.
I will do that. Let's take a quick break, Matt, and then we'll come back and we'll talk to Dolph Pulliam. We'll talk a little March Madness. We'll take a little trip back in time, and then we'll talk about this weekend's games as well. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on this 23rd of March, a beautiful, breezy day down here in downtown St. Petersburg.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with partner RadioSt.Pete.com launched a new sports streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, on RadioSt.Pete.com. Florida Sports Stream provides local and national podcasts, radio shows, live events. The Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection will broadcast Florida high school boys and girls sports, live play-by-play coverage, media days, award ceremonies, positive stories and content across Tampa Bay, Florida, and the USA. From the peewees to the preps to the pros, recognizing positive participation in sport and the people that make a difference. Podcasts include NASCAR, Florida Fishing, MMA, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, local media personalities, pickleball, local colleges, FCA sports, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and NFL Alumni Tampa. Just a few of the shows and podcasts with dozens on deck. That's Florida Sports Stream on RadioSt.Pete.com, supported by Body Armor, Sea Dog Brewery, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ice Pick Vodka. Take a listen and have a championship day.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, Ice Pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. You never know who you're going to meet. Hopalong Cassidy's grandson just walked by. We might talk to him in the second hour. What do you think?
Hey, I think
we got a cool story.
Yeah, not
having
too
a few
shabby.
Adult beverages. He's nervous about that. No, we'll have to sit and talk. We'll talk to you after the top of the hour. Anyway, I'm sitting across from Baseball Ben Botham. Joe Geiger does a superb job on our social media, our Facebook posts, which is just keeps increasing the numbers. Of course, me and my wisdom, I got hacked. And Joe's had to take over the responsibilities. You don't do Facebook, and I understand why.
Yeah, and Facebook's not my cup of tea. I'm big Instagram, Twitter kind of guy.
Yeah, I'm X.
Oh, excuse me. Yes.
Well, I'm an ex-Facebook guy, I can tell you right now. Anyway, we're brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor, Coca-Cola Beverages, down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. This Saturday, with a March Madness, we'll have over 104 televisions. Come down, watch your game. We'll be focused, of course, on the Iowa women. The Iowa State women won as well, and the Iowa State men won. But unfortunately, my favorite team, the Drake Bulldogs out of Des Moines, Iowa, went down in the men's and the women's. But we've got a very bright spot and a very bright story coming from Drake. And he's my good friend, great friend, Dolph Pulliam, to join us. And he was on the 1969 Final Four team, Drake University. Talk about the giant UCLA getting taken to the task against Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and this mighty team led by Maury John out of Little Des Moines, Iowa. And the entire country was captivated by that, and he's kind enough to take time. How are you, my man?
Hey, man, I am excited. Looking forward to talking with you. I'm a little depressed, though, because, yeah, my Bulldogs did go down the other night against Washington State. But I got over it, and I drove home. I got home late last night, and I was looking forward to sharing some stories with you.
Well, you had to drive through that that bad weather, didn't you?
I could not believe the cars and trucks I saw in the ditch and on side of the road. Man, it was amazing.
I thought about you. You're leaving Omaha, Nebraska, and driving to the greater Chicago area. I worried about you, brother. Anyway, you went and watched the Bulldogs. And let's do a little history lesson for the people down here, because your story is amazing. The incredible success you had, the opportunities you had to pursue professional sports with the Boston Celtics as well as the Dallas Cowboys, and decided to go a different direction, which is today's world, people would wonder why, but you had a wonderful career in communications and marketing. So let's go back and talk about that. Go Hawks! Right down here, downtown St. Pete, Dolph, we've got Caitlin Clark jersey walking by and a guy wearing it. That's the impact that young lady's got. Holy moly. So let's talk about, let's give the audience a little little bio.
All right. Well, you know, Mike, I tell other people, especially young people, it doesn't matter where you begin. It's how you run the race and how you end it. And if many people would give up with their beginnings. I started in Mississippi. I lived in with my mom and my eight brothers and sisters. We lived in a one-room, tin-roof shack in the cotton fields of Mississippi. We picked cotton. We were under the rules of the Ku Klux Klan. We couldn't go to school. We had to, believe it or not, we had to stand there and watch some of my people be hanged in Mississippi. And so my mom was desperate to try to get us out of Mississippi, and you just couldn't get in the car and drive out of Mississippi in those days, because if you got caught by the Ku Klux Klan or the police, then they would beat you up and bring you back. So we had to sneak out of Mississippi at night. And so that's how my mom was able to get us out of Mississippi and get us to Oran, Missouri, where there was another farmer that said that we could pick his cotton. And we had a, believe it or not, instead of one-room, tin-roof shack, he had a two-bedroom house for us to live in. And he said that the younger of us could start going to school, but my three older brothers, Charles, James, and Joe, had to work full-time in the cotton field. And that's how my life began again. And unfortunately, after about 3 months living in Mississippi, my mom died in an automobile accident, and my 17-year-old brother, Charles, was in charge of all nine of us. So we didn't know how our lives were going to change after that. But my mother's sister, older sister, came down to Oran, Missouri for the funeral. And after the funeral, my mom, my aunt said, I want all you kids to pack. I'm taking you home with me. Man, I could not believe that. I didn't know how anybody could take nine children and take them to Gary, Indiana. But that's what she did, and she brought us to Gary. Our life started all over again. We started going to school. Life changed, and from then on, it was just full speed ahead. And I tell you, that's how my life began.
And you were in the same neighborhood as a pretty popular little group that formed back in that generation, and that would happen to be the Jackson Five and Michael Jackson, and you're close friends of that family. And kept in touch with them all the way through their career.
Mike, that's I don't believe you remember that. It is unbelievable. So the Jacksons, Mr. Jackson had a tight rein on those kids, and because they were trying to make them stars. And I was the star football and basketball player at Roosevelt High School in Gary, Indiana. And he would only let them come to the games because they were going to cheer for Adolphus Pulliam. So I was the star in Gary, Indiana. Nobody had heard of the Jacksons until after I got to Des Moines and was working in television broadcasting in 1971. And the station manager came into the newsroom and he said, "The Jacksons are in town. The Jacksons are in town to perform at the Iowa State Fair." And he says, "By God," he says, "I called out to the hotel to interview them, and they won't even talk to me." He says, "Man, if we could only get in touch with the Jacksons, we could control the market." So everybody, he says, "Does anybody know the Jacksons?" Everybody's sitting around saying, "I don't know them. I don't know how to get to them." And then I said, "Well, heck, let me try." And everybody looked at me and said, "How do you think you can try?" I said, "I went to school with them." And they said, "Call, see if you can get the Jacksons." So I called out to the hotel. I got the road manager. Mr. Roach came on the phone. I says, "Mr. Roach," I said, "Mr. Roach, this is Adolphus Pulliam." He says, "Adolphus Pulliam?" He says, "Is this Adolphus Pulliam from Roosevelt High School in Gary, Indiana?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he says, "Adolphus, what are you doing in Des Moines, Iowa?" And I said, "Well, I work for a local TV station here." He said, "You do?" He said, "How would you like to interview the Jacksons?" And I said, "I'd love to interview the Jacksons." He says, "Man," he says, They don't want to perform at the Iowa State Fair. I can't get them out of their room. They are unhappy." And he says, "Man, Adolphus, you could be just the man to get them excited." So he says, "You get out here to the hotel, and you get set up, and I'm going to surprise them and bring them into the room for you to interview." And he says, "And then we'll see what happens." So I said, "Okay." So I told my cameraman, "Now look," after we got all set up at the hotel, I said, "Now look, when that door opens, I want you to flip the switch on the camera and just catch whatever happens." And he says, "Oh, okay." So the door opens. The Jacksons are standing there with their heads looking down to the floor. They looked up and they saw me and they saw yelling, "Adolphus Pulliam! Oh my God, it's Adolphus Pulliam! Adolphus Pulliam!" They rushed into the room. They jumped into my arms and we're hugging and yelling and screaming. And Michael says, "Adolphus, Adolphus, you left Gary, Indiana before I could get your autograph." He says, "I got to have your autograph." And I says, "Okay, Michael, I'm going to sign an autograph for you." Can you believe that Michael Jackson asked me for an autograph?
Well, I tell you what, let's fast forward then. Let's go back from that date and then talk about that 1969 Final Four game, because you also had somebody on the anniversary sign an autograph for you. And that would have been Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Alcindor, and that was just in the last few years.
Oh, my gosh. That is amazing. That game, that was an unbelievable game. Can I tell you about what my coach, Maury John, his plan for the game was? All right, Mike. So here goes. He says, "Now, look, guys," he says, "Kareem," or in those days, Lou Alcindor, he says, "Lou is going to get his points." And he said, "So, but you three centers that are going to guard him, you're probably all three fouled out." He says, "But don't let it make it easy on him. Make him earn his points, okay?" He says, "Now, the other three guys on the team, we can let them get their average. And but Dolph is going to guard Lynn Shackelford, who was averaging about 24, 25 points a game. And he said, Dolph is going to guard Shackelford. And Dolph, you've got to keep Shackelford to 5 points or less, Dolph. 5 points or less. And if Dolph does that, we're going to win by 10. So that was our plan. All right. The game starts. UCLA jumps out on us 11 to nothing. And the sports writers and announcers are saying, my God, what's this little old Drake team doing playing UCLA? They're going to kill them. And Drake started coming back, and we started coming back and back and back. And by halftime, the score was Drake 32, UCLA 33. Now the people are saying, my God, this Drake team is amazing. They are taking it to UCLA. The game was going back and forth the second half. With 10 seconds to go, Willie McCarter takes a shot deep in the corner, left corner. We all come running around the basket. I'm bumping elbows with Jabbar and Sidney Wicks. The shot goes up. McCarter misses the shot. I get the rebound. I put it back up and put it in. I thought I was fouled. The referee didn't call the foul. We got 5 seconds to go. UCLA is taking the ball out. We put a full-court press on. They're trying to get the ball in. They throw the ball to Lynn Shackelford. As soon as Shackelford got the ball, we took it away from him, and the referee called a foul on us as the buzzer sounded. The game is over. We've lost by 1 point, and Lynn Shackelford goes to the free throw line and shoots two free throws, and we lose by three. That was that game.
I know what I said back in the day, back in Des Moines when we had these conversations, that the fix was in because they didn't want for the TV audience to have little lowly Drake Bulldogs on the broadcast on NBC and Kurt Gowdy on the call. They wanted the UCLA, the Titans of college basketball, and John Wooden and their win streak. They wanted them so the rest of America. That's my position on it, and I know you take the high road and don't say that, but I'm saying, man.
Well, I'm gonna defer to you with that one. But I'm gonna tell you what. So in those games, those days, Mike, you remember we had to play the consolation game, and they don't do that anymore because it's sort of like kissing your sister. You don't want to do that. So anyway, teams couldn't get up for the consolation game, but we had to play the consolation game. So in those days, UCLA was gonna play Purdue in the finals. Drake was gonna play North Carolina, which was Dean Smith's first year in the conference. So we then beat North Carolina by 20 points. And then UCLA then in the finals played Purdue with Rick Mount. UCLA beat Purdue by 20 points. With a minute to go in the UCLA-Purdue game, the UCLA fans started yelling, Drake's number two, Drake's number two. The Drake fans started yelling back, we're one and a half, we're one and a half. And it kept going back and forth like that till the game ended. But, wow. Yeah, they wanted to see two national teams, known teams, play and not little Drake University.
Well, you guys took it to North Carolina Tar Heels. That makes me very happy. I've chronicled it many times in the conversations we had. And then, of course, that 1969 team. You had your own talented players as well that had careers in the pros. Of course, Willie Wise, yeah. An incredible career in the ABA. You know, the ABA, of course, merged with the NBA eventually. But you had the ABA and with Willie Wise, Willie McCarter. Played with the Los Angeles Lakers and Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, yep. Some incredible. And then you had your opportunity, but, you know, you chose wisely to get in communications and marketing and lasted 4 decades, maybe even longer, because you're always promoting. Mm-hmm. But you had an opportunity with the Boston Celtics. The thing that cracks me up is that the Dallas Cowboys actually wanted you to come down to camp for a tryout. You never played a down of college football at Drake. They must have been impressed with what you did at the high school level.
Apparently, yes, because I only played football in high school. I was the offensive receiver, and I was the defensive end. in high school. But here's
you
what
were,
happened.
You were a wide receiver?
I was the they didn't call it wide. I played the end, so I was like the
tight end.
And so I got the short distance passes. And so that was my
perfect.
So I was all confident.
Today's NFL. You would have been perfect in today's NFL.
That would have been perfect. Yeah.
Those hands, ears.
And that's what my quarterback would do. He just put the ball up in the air and just let me go get it. And so I would go up and get it with my big old hands. And the coach started calling me, throw it to Scoop Shovel, because my hands were so big. And they would throw it out there and just put it up high. Nobody could jump as high as I could. And I could grab the football, and we get the first down, and then they tackle me and knock me down. And that's the way it was. But here's how my connection with Tom Landry and the Dallas Cowboys came about. We're playing in the NCAA regional tournament in Manhattan, Kansas. We have just beat the Texas Aggies. And I had to guard their leading scorer. And that poor young man, he was averaging 24 points a game. And by halftime, he had only had 5. So in the middle of the second half, he walks over to the sideline and checks himself out of the game. And I walk over to the sideline with him. And I said, well, come on, when are you coming back out? He said, man, I don't want anything else to do with you. I'm out. I'm not coming back in. And I go, you're not coming back into the game? I'm out of the game. I don't want you anymore. I'm tired of you. And so I went back and we kept playing, but we beat him. So now we've won the rights to go to the NCAA Final Four. And we're in the dressing room celebrating and having the time of our lives in that dressing room, because this is the first time that Drake University had ever gotten to an NCAA tournament, and we're going to the Final Four. So we are having a party in the dressing room. The door opens, and I'm sitting there in the dressing room looking down at the floor because I am so tired. Remember, Mike, I used to tear up a pair of Converse All-Stars every game because of my defense. I'm sitting there with my head down on the floor looking. The dressing room goes quiet. I hear a voice that says, Coach, I'd like to speak to Dolph Pulliam. I thought it was the media. And so I'm looking on the floor. Coach said, well, there's Dolph. You can say hello to him. So he walks over to me, and I'm looking down at the floor. And Mike, I'm looking at blue alligator boots. And I said, well, the media don't wear those kind of shoes. And I looked up, and I said, my eyes got big, and he said, son, do you know who I am? And I said, well, yes, sir, you're Coach Tom Landry. He said, yes, I am. And he said, do you know why I'm here? And I said, well, no, sir. He said, son, I came here to support the Texas Aggies. And I go, oh, Coach, we just beat them. He says, I know you just beat them because I was out there watching you. I was watching you. You guarded our leading score, and that young man was averaging 24 points a game, and he only scored 5 points on you. And he said, son, I've never seen anybody play defense like you in my life, and I wanted to come into this dressing room and shake your hand. And he shook my hand. He says, and I want to wish you good luck the rest of the way, but Adolphus, I'm going to be watching you. And that's how I met Coach Tom Landry. Can you believe that?
And he invited you to camp. Hey, before we let you go, let's talk about real quick how you got the signed autograph from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar of late, and it was a pleasant a surprise you didn't expect.
Last year, on my birthday, which is March 14th, I was checking my emails on my computer and reading happy birthday from friends all over the world, and I came across one that said, happy birthday, Dolph, but it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And I went, oh no, this is a scam. I said, I am not going to click on that email. I won't do it, but I couldn't resist it, Mike. So I clicked on the thing, and it took me to an attachment. And I went, I know this is going to be a scam now. I'm going to lose all of my information, but I had to do it. So I clicked on that attachment, and a video came up. And it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I said, hey, Dolph. Kareem here. He says, Dolph. He says, I'm holding a picture of you scoring on me in the NCAA tournament. Our senior year. He says, and you guys almost beat us that year. And he says, Dolph, I'm going to sign this for you. And Mike, he signed it 6-time NBA MVP Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to Dolph Pulliam. And I have that picture hanging in my office here at home, and I have the video in my computer. So that was quite a surprise, and I couldn't believe he could remember that.
Well, that's pretty impressive, my friend, as was has been your life. And plenty left to share your stories of positivity out there to the world. And I look forward to hopefully hooking up with you down at the Drake Relays here. Actually, a month from this weekend is the Drake Relays. So I will get a hold of you, and we'll get together and share some more stories. How's that sound?
Hey, you got it. And, man, we miss you out there in Iowa. We miss you. Come back to us.
Well, brother, I've got shorts on. I'm downtown St. Petersburg. I've got my son, Ben, coming here. I think everybody's coming to visit me. You got an open invitation anytime.
Hey, I'm going to take you up on it one of these days.
All right. He's Dolph Bullion. Google search him, folks. He had a heck of a career, and it's one of those Cinderella stories. Can you imagine a team like Drake taking on the number one team in America and knocking them off? That'd be like beyond what Yale did. That'd be like Yale now going all the way to the championship and playing the final game.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. I know that there's crazy upsets in this March Madness tournament going on, Mike, and I'll definitely be tuning in a little bit more this year. It seems a little more exciting.
Well, that's because you're on Hard Rock Bets now. That's why.
Yeah, you know, that certainly does help.
You did place a couple wagers, though.
Just for baseball. I haven't yet done them on
baseball.
Oh, basketball,
you did futures on the Blue Jays and the Rays.
And the Rays. And I also did a couple for who's going to hit the most home runs. Most RBIs, all that. I'm kind of nervous about my bet on Shohei Ohtani having the most RBIs with all the drama that's going on right now.
I can't believe you and Joe both think that this is actually a cover-up.
Without a doubt, Mike.
And they're hoping that the interpreter will take the fall.
I know Shohei Ohtani's probably a really good guy, probably great.
I think
heart,
he's naive, though.
But how do you give – They're saying that he probably stole $4 million and then gave $1 million to him as
Hold on a second. How many professional athletes, ever since the advent of agents and management teams, have been ripped off in numerous sports and were naive and trusted?
No, I know.
That's why I'm giving him the shadow of a doubt.
But most of the reports are saying that Shohei Ohtani at least gave $1 million to help pay off his debt.
Well, he's probably concerned the guy's going to get his legs broke.
Yep. I mean, I'm a pretty nice guy, Mike, but if I had $1 million to give, I don't think I'm giving it to
him. He's a $600 million man. You couldn't give me a measly mill if I was facing cement boots out here in the Gulf. I thought you loved the old man.
$1 million is a lot of money, Mike.
Oh, man, your true colors come out right now. $1 million is chump change to $640 million. That's just the contract he signed. That's not even including the endorsements.
Yeah, you have to know.
He's a generous guy.
But you have to know that as a baseball player, that is the cardinal rule. You cannot gamble.
All right.
Any involvement with gambling is a bad deal.
We're winding up hour number one. We'll come back and have a little positive high school conversation, hour number two, on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.